Meb Keflezighi was born in the northeast African country of Eritrea in May of 1975. Escaping a brutal civil war in that country, young Meb and his siblings found refuge in Italy before moving to America and finding a home in San Diego. He started running long distance in high school and became a California State High School champion and eventually won four NCAA titles at UCLA. Well, everyone, this is Greg Stewart. Welcome to today's edition of Sports and Commentary. This is a show you help to sponsor with your generous tax-deductible contributions to Western Wisconsin's Inspirational Broadcaster Incorporated. And these days, you're free to give quickly, safely, and securely to help support the show at WWIB.com. You can do that via your credit card, and the mailing address is right there at WIB.com to help support this program. Meb Keflezighi is the only runner to win an Olympic medal, the Boston Marathon, and the New York City Marathon. And he is back, 44-year-old Meb Keflezighi, from his home out in California. So as I documented there, Meb, you did not start your life out with a silver spoon in your mouth, for sure. Running glory wasn't an absolute sure thing for you. When you came to America from Eritrea, you were forced to assimilate to a new culture, a new language. What was that like for you as a kid?
Yeah, growing up in Eritrea in the Horn of Africa, it was difficult. There's no electricity, no running water. I never saw television until I got out of the country when I was 10 years old when we made a journey to Italy. But my dad has to walk over 225 miles a journey to save his life. And hopefully if he makes it safe, he will save his wife and six kids that he left behind. And eventually he did. But we did not see our father for 5 years, where he lived in Sudan and in Italy. And I remember, we were poor. We didn't have all those things. We grew up, we crop the farm, and what if it rains and the grass plants, and then you got food. If you don't, you don't. And I remember literally for me personally eating dirt to survive, and your mind tells you so. Look for minerals or look for that, and you just dig deep so that way you can get the dirt to be soft and moisture, and try to eat that. But yeah, it was difficult. Not everybody went to school. We played soccer, makeshift soccer. We didn't have a ball, so we have long socks or the sleeve of a sweater, when it's old and torn, and save that and put plastic in it and sew it and try to make it as circular as possible. And we play in this gravel of rocks and pebbles barefoot. And, that was the most fun part, the makeshift soccer. But, you try to do the best you can. And in Italy, I saw television for the first time. I couldn't believe how people were fit in there. So I went behind the screen, behind the TV, the big flat screen. Before the flat screen, there'd be a big box TV to see if they were there. And, new food, new culture, new elevators or lights and things like that. It's mind-boggling. But, when we came to the United States, it was similar. And when I was in Italy 6 months, I spoke Italian. And then when we came to the United States, because of my Italian background, the Spanish came a little easier, so I picked up and speaking Spanish quickly, and then English was hard. My parents woke us up at 4:30 in the morning to learn English through the dictionary before we went to 7:30 o'clock class in the morning. So it was a lot of hard work and pushing and persevering. But there were some people that kind of helped us assimilate and to this great country, help us what's right, what's wrong, and be there for us during the good and the bad. And I'm just fortunate to have run to the right people to help me be who I am. And growing up in San Diego was really nice. And I'm still in touch with that seventh grade PE teacher or my mentors from ninth grade who allowed me to come to their house, use a computer because we didn't have a computer. So if I have to write an English paper or work on reading or write an essay, I have to go to their house so they can help me edit it and things like that. So I'm very, very blessed with those.
Yeah, what a challenge you had. You have run 26 marathons. Your latest book is called 26 Marathons. And you have said that a marathon, Meb, is a metaphor for life. Tell us why.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a metaphor for life. I mean, that's why life is, go through the ups and downs and challenging obstacles and overcoming those challenges. And you know, even in the marathon, within a marathon, you know, the preparation for a marathon is a metaphor for life in the marathon. But also when you're going through that 26.2 journey, you go through that. There's no shortcuts in life. There's no shortcut in the marathon. You know, you got to get from 5 kilometers to the 10 kilometers to the 15 kilometers, or from mile 3 to 6 miles to 9 miles and halfway, and evaluate yourself, measure yourself. And that's what it is in life. You know, you also have to say, hey, how am I doing in life in general? Have I accomplished? Have I finished my high school? Have I gotten a job? Or am I moving toward the right direction? And so many peril that are in the marathon that can translate to real life.
Yeah. Well, you worked your way up to being so successful at long distance at marathons, and eventually people just, you know, expected you to win every marathon you entered. And we'll talk about that living under the cloud of that expectation, I think, next time with you, Meb. We're out of clock here for today's show. We also want to have you share about Jesus in your life, your personal faith, how you come in your life to a personal relationship with Christ. And we'll get into that as well on Sports and Commentary, the next lap here. So thanks for being here, Meb Keflezighi, 44 years of age, the king of American long-distance running. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you, too.